So as I mentioned, we're going to look at Psalm 122 tonight. Psalm 122, a song of ascents of David. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together, where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For thrones are set there for judgment, thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. That's our reading from God's word here this evening. Well, brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, you might have noticed that little title at the beginning, a song of ascents, and you could see those beginning in Psalm 120 for a pretty big chunk of the book of Psalms. These type of hymns that they would sing or prayers they would pray on the way up to Jerusalem, especially at the time of the three great feasts. And they'd travel with family and with friends, other people from their community, and they would pray these prayers together, and they would sing them together on the way up to this celebratory feast, this time of meeting God and in Jerusalem and going to the temple and offering sacrifices and prayers and all the rest. These were special moments in their history, kind of rare, you know, three times a year, and going up to Jerusalem was special, and it was marked by the writing of psalms like this. There's also sort of, I think, some mini thematical kind of psalms as well within these songs of ascents. For example, just Psalms 120 through 122, for example. 120 is kind of the voice of someone who's not able to go up to the feast. And he's living even probably outside of Israel and having a very difficult time living out in the world, and he's under attack. He feels it in his soul, and it's like a psalm of sorrow, almost. He can't go up with God's people. Psalm 121 describes like the pilgrimage, like the journey, going up, looking, lifting up my eyes to the hills, anticipating the coming of Jerusalem, and anticipating, you know, the wonderful worship that he's going to experience there. And then we have Psalm 122, where there's kind of a mixture of anticipation, but at the same time, there's already an enjoyment. So not only would they sing these on the way up, ascending up to Jerusalem, but they would also sing them when they were there. And Psalm 122 is one of those psalms. So I'm calling it Journey's End, and looking at three particular experiences of the psalmist and the worshipers as they reach their journey's end, arriving in Jerusalem for the time of feasting and worship and repentance and everything else. First thing we see is joy, then we see praise, and then we see peace. Things that we are also to long for and pray for and enjoy. Joy, praise, and peace. First of all, at the journey's end, joy. David is recounting not only a present time that he's going up to Jerusalem, but he, in a sense, in these first couple of verses, is capturing all of the times that he went up, and all of the times before that all his fellow Israelites have gone up to worship. I was glad when they said to me, "Let's go up into the house of the Lord." And there's a mixture in the Hebrew here of past and present tenses. So he's speaking both of what has happened before and also what's happening right now, and he's combining those together. I mentioned the three feasts, Passover, First Fruits, and the Feast of Booths. And these feasts captured all kinds of redemptive history, of things that God had done in the past for his people. The children remember, perhaps, Passover, leaving bondage in Egypt and going out to worship God in the land that he had promised to Abraham. And that last terrible night when the firstborn in Egypt were slaughtered, but everyone who had the blood of the lamb on the doorposts, the angel of God would pass over. And they were kept alive, and then they were set free. So just a wonderful celebration of all of this past redemption, and the fact that the God of redemption was still their God and was still keeping them and was still worthy of this kind of thanksgiving and praise. It's for the Israelite and for the believer now. It's never just a once in a lifetime, three times a year, 52 times a year. It is a lifelong experience of enjoying God, living in his presence, not just on Sundays, but throughout the week, and responding, you know, with joy and with hope. Jerusalem was special, though, for them. We all have particular places that you could think of, perhaps a place in your home or perhaps a past home or a vacation spot that holds particular memories for us, that even when we might travel there now, there's a sort of transcendence to them. There's something beyond just the space. There's something deeper because of what we've experienced over the years in a spot like that. I have a camping place back in Ontario, Canada, where I grew up. You know, we went every single year. I tell people, if I go back there now, immediately I feel stress just kind of falling away because of all the things that happened, all the memories of God's goodness that we experienced in that place year after year. And for the Israelites, especially, that was Jerusalem, a place where their hearts were moved. They experienced the sense of just God's love and his affection and his faithfulness to them. And that's what they're thinking about as they're going up to Jerusalem, as they're now in Jerusalem. You're meant to hear the excitement in David's voice, in the voice of every pilgrim. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. They were anticipating that. They were longing for that. There's some places probably each one of us, if I were to ask you to put up your hands and give a place that you would like to go to, a bucket list kind of place that you haven't been to yet. One of mine is to go to Normandy, to the beaches of Normandy, where this determinative battle took place, you know, where the Allied army, huge battalion of boats and destroyers and everything else, landing craft, landing on Normandy, France, and really dealing a decisive blow to the German army. I saw that there's some who practice every year, where they go and they try to, using different images in the sand, and try to recapture the 9,000 people that died on the sand. And we've seen pictures of that, but put a kind of cutout image and they rake the sand, and then they take away the image, and you're left with just all of these different figures and where they might have, you know, died on the beaches of Normandy, because so many did die. Allied soldiers and German soldiers. It's more than, these places are more than just a latitude and longitude on a map, right? There's something deeper based on what happened there. I would translate verse 2 in a more kind of modern sense here. It's almost like if you could imagine going somewhere, or imagine even going to Jerusalem like one of these pilgrims, taking a selfie of yourself and some of your friends perhaps, posting on Instagram or your social media of choice, and then just including a little note at the bottom, I can't believe I'm here at last. That's the sense here of David. Not just the past, but also he's trying to express, I can't believe that I'm here. This is the place where God has been dwelling with his people and blessing his people for all these years. I can't believe that I'm here. It's the joy that we should sense every trip to church on Sunday, but it's also deeper than that. God wants to meet with us. It's not just the joy that we have. It's the joy in knowing his joy, in welcoming us to worship, welcoming us into his presence every day of our life. Got a number of passages like that in the Bible, Jude 24. He will present you without blemish before the presence of his glory with rejoicing. God enjoys bringing us into his presence. And he's got a plan to not only give us the foretaste of that now, and along with the presence of his Holy Spirit within us. It was deeper than any Israelite pilgrim experienced, because we have the fullness of his revelation in Jesus Christ and the Spirit of the Father and the Son living with us. He will present you without blemish before the presence of his glory with rejoicing. So our rejoicing in being in his presence is just a reflection of his rejoicing at having us in his presence. It's not only us on that day in the New Jerusalem that will be rejoicing, but God will be rejoicing. We think about Jesus on the way to the cross. For the joy that was set before him, the writer of Hebrews describes. That's why he endured the shame. The joy that was set before him. Or Zephaniah 3, one of my favorite Old Testament passages. He will rejoice over you with singing. We're on our way, brothers and sisters, on a pilgrimage towards the New Jerusalem, towards the very presence of God. I've been enjoying a book that I started just this past week called Gentle and Lowly, speaking about, the subtitle is The Heart of Christ for Sinners and Sufferers. And it's the theme of the book is the love of Christ, the love of his heart for us. And in one chapter, taking a text from Ephesians 2, he writes this, that God is rich in mercy means his mercy is not calculating and cautious like ours. It is unrestrained, flood-like, sweeping, magnanimous. It means our haunting shame is not a problem for him, but the very thing he loves most to deal with. It means our sins do not cause his love to take a hit. It means on that day when we stand before him quietly, unhurriedly, we will weep with relief, shocked at how impoverished a view of his mercy, rich heart we had. This gladness, this sense, I can't believe that I'm here from David's heart, is just a reflection of his father's heart as he enters into this great city and into the temple, experiencing the presence of God. That's experience I trust that you have when you come up to church. Every time you pray, every time throughout the day you seek God. And if you don't have that experience, that sense of joy in being welcomed into your Father's arms in his presence, then I encourage you to pray and ask for it. So the psalmist describes at his journey's end this sense of joy. But he also talks about praise in the following verses. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together. And he speaks of the tribes going up. And you might think about a map of Israel and all the different tribes, Gad and Benjamin and Dan and Issachar and Zebulun and Judah and all the different tribes. And so they come from all the different places together to that one city, to Jerusalem. So they're scattered in all directions, but they come up together to meet the Lord. That's a part of being a Christian, that despite all the mess that there is sometimes in our churches, right, and different personalities and different emphases and different opinions, that you are ready to cheerfully go up to meet with God's people. We don't make excuses for not going up. We don't make church about me and my opinion and my plans. my purposes for the church, but this is a big part of who I am as a person. I love to go up. That's what David's saying. That's what the pilgrim's saying on the way to Jerusalem. I'd love to go up with all of the tribes, with all of the people of God. You can't love Jesus, you see, and not love his church, because the church is his bride. And if Jesus himself was willing to die for his bride, we can certainly love and care for and seek the peace of the church and love that church. The tribes, that wording is reflected in Revelation 21, describing the perfect New Jerusalem. And there's not just the 12 tribes of Israel, that's referenced in Revelation, but also all the nations. And we read that and sang that from Psalm 87 as well this evening. So there's diversity. There's all these different tribes with their different ways of doing things. And then there's also now all of the tribes from all of the nations, and they're all part of flooding into the New Jerusalem. And so there's diversity, and then there's unity. There's diversity in the fact that people have different opinions and different ways of doing things and different traditions, but there's unity. Unity, therefore, is not found in these lesser things and these extra biblical things. They're not found in wearing the same clothes, having the same opinions politically or medically or educationally or whatever else you might want to put into that blank space. It's not found in those things, but it's found in what? In the purpose. The tribes go up to give thanks to the name of the Lord. It's their purpose to call upon the name of the Lord and worship him together. It's an act of communal loyalty to the Lord. I'm committing myself, along with all of these people, to living for the sake and building the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. The tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. The journey's end is found in this experience of joy. It's also found in praise, and in particular, communal praise. Offering it up together as part of being a Christian. Praying for and enjoying the privilege of going up to God's house with God's people. People that you might never choose to enter into a friendship with, but here you're entered into a deeper purpose, a deeper goal, a deeper identity. Children of God, come to give thanks to the name of the Lord. Well, final part of the journey's end here is peace. It's a big part of David's prayer here. He mentions peace over and over again in verses 6 through 9 in terms of what he wants for Jerusalem, now and into the future. This is David's prayer. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls. Prosperity within your palaces. That means that for a child of God, for a fellow pilgrim on the way to the New Jerusalem, prayer should be a big part of your life and my life. Praying for the peace of the church. You read Jerusalem in the Bible, in the Old Testament. Read church for us now, right? Israel, the church of the New Testament. It should be our habit and our joy to pray for the peace, security, welfare of the church, both your local body of believers here and for the greater church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's more than just a physical place. David's language here at the end is you get the sense in his mind that he's looking beyond just the earthly Jerusalem, what it is right now, to God's full promises. Because his promises to Abraham, bigger than just one nation, right? I mean, you're going to have a host as many as the stars in the sky. And Israel was large at this point, but that didn't capture everything that God was going to do. And he sees something even bigger when he's praying for this prospering. There's a sense of something larger that he knew God was doing even through them right now. for the sake of my brethren and companions. It can never be about me and my private relationship with God, with Jesus Christ. It always has to be for the sake of my brethren and companions. I will now say, peace be within you. We're not to speak or act without a sense of working for the peace of our brothers and sisters. That should be a prayer at the beginning of this new week. How can I pray and speak and act for the good of my brothers and sisters and friends? This communal activity, this joyful family procession to the new heavens and new earth, the heavenly Jerusalem. It's the least that we can do for each other based on what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, how far he has come with joy to make us into his family. I'm going to conclude with the words of Hebrews 12. Hebrews is the book that's above every other book in the New Testament, really gives us the fulfillment of all of the Old Testament pictures of the temple and Jerusalem and the high priest and everything else, how Jesus Christ has fulfilled all these things. Hebrews 12, verses 22 through 24. You have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Join me as we go to him in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this short psalm here this evening, where we reflect along with countless saints in the past. This procession of our brothers and sisters from the Old Testament going up to Jerusalem, and what a precious thing that was for them. And how good it is, Lord, for us to see ourselves together as a body of believers, different in many ways, but centered on this communal loyalty, commitment to living for the glory of our Father, living for the glory of our Savior. And we pray that that would continue to be the heartbeat of this church, to want to do that together and to encourage one another along the way as we continue down this pilgrimage. We need each other. We need to do what David said. Let's go up together. Celebrate together. We can't believe that we're here. We're in Jerusalem, the Old Testament saint said, and there's going to come a day where we're going to be in the New Jerusalem, and we're going to be filled with even much greater wonder. In that day, we won't be able to believe just how small our sense of your love and your power really was for us. But one day we'll enjoy that. We'll enjoy that in your presence. And Lord, help us to live out of the joy of heaven even now. Please bolster our faith. Please encourage our hearts. Please lift up our spirits. We so desperately need your spirit to do that within us. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing.